Dwight, thank you, and thank all of you for being here this morning. It is a beautiful day outside, and God has given us the opportunity to join together this morning in these great songs of our faith and our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're visiting with us, we hope that you'll come again. It's always great to worship God collectively and to be united together in that common bond through Christ our Lord. This morning, I do want to talk to you about a subject that many perhaps have never even considered, and that is the idea of going to the doctor. You know, many of us go to the doctor. We don't like to go to the doctor. A lot of people don't like to get shots. A lot of people don't like to take medicine, and a lot of people just don't like to be around doctors. Your blood pressure goes up. It's called the white coat syndrome, and a lot of issues. You know, kids especially don't want to go to the doctor, not at all. They know what's coming if they go. A lot of people go to the doctor, but they won't follow his orders. Have you ever noticed that? The doctor might give you an order of what you need to do to get over an illness, or he may send you to the pharmacy to get a particular prescription filled. You get it, you take it home, and you say, I don't think I'm going to take this. And you don't. And because you didn't take the medication, you will spend maybe another 2 weeks getting over a particular illness. Someone said just once, I would like to read a medication label that says, warning, may cause permanent weight loss, remove wrinkles, and increase energy. I'd like to have one of those, wouldn't you? But rarely would we find something like that. But I can tell you the greatest doctor in all of the world is the great physician who is Jesus Christ, our Lord, Dr. Jesus. So this morning, I want you to meet Jesus, the great physician, as we talk about his great prescriptions for those of us who are his children. You know, when you look back in the annals of history and you look back at the life of our Lord, Jesus was a master healer. There wasn't anything that he couldn't heal. I mean, if someone were blind, he could open their eyes, John chapter 9. If they were lame and could not walk, well, he would tell them to rise up, take up their bed, and walk. He could reach out to those that could not hear. Factually speaking, a lot of the life of our Lord was spent reaching out to physical maladies or ailments, and God would reach out through Christ and heal people where they could live that normal life. The character of Jesus is so different from other great physicians. He is an accessible physician. You know, when you see, you call on Jesus, you don't see the PA. I mean, you see Jesus who is Lord and Master. He is an infallible physician. Have you ever wondered why they call a physician's business a practice? They practice. They practice medicine. He, not Jesus. Jesus knows precisely what he is doing, how he is going to do it, and what is going to be the end result. He is an unchangeable physician as well. He doesn't change. And he is the only appointed physician in the world. And he was so appointed by God our Father who is in heaven. This physician that we call Jesus is never out. You know, a lot of doctors like to go on vacation. A lot of doctors like to take off several days during the week. Not Jesus. He's always in. And when we have an issue, he is always there. But a lot of people do not like to follow Jesus, and they make many mistakes in life because they do not do what the doctor ordered. Not what the doctor ordered. And Jesus answered and said unto them, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick, Luke chapter 5. Now, we don't take this view of just taking any kind of medication that we want to take or going to any doctor, doesn't matter who it is, as long as he's got a physician by his name. But when you stop and think about it, we don't take that view in any other realm of life. We just wouldn't do it. But where it's a doctor, sometimes people want to take their own medication or they want to medicate themselves instead of taking the prescription. They want to follow their own thoughts. They might even ask the pharmacist about it instead of taking what the physician had prescribed. And when a doctor prescribes a medication, that excludes every other kind of medication. That does, doesn't it? Well, you know, when you read the Bible, if God tells us how we are to live our lives, how we're to become Christians, and how we are to stay Christians, how we're to live for Him, then we ought to follow the prescription of the great physician. Why? Why should we do that? Because anything else is not what the doctor ordered. But the great physician is Jesus. I've told people a lot of times, if I ever had to have surgery again, I would want Jesus in the room with me. He is the most important person you want when you are having surgery. For He is the great physician. Now, I'm not here this morning speaking disparagingly about medication or about doctors, but one thing that I have learned in life, it is that doctors can try to treat you, but you need God to cure you. Sometimes I've heard doctors say, maybe in a patient's room, "We have done all that medical science can do, and now you just have to call upon God in prayer." And I've told you so many times, I think that God ought to be priority. We ought to call on God first of all before anyone else. And then depend upon medical science. We should be very, very careful. When God specifies what He wants, everything else is excluded. God has a prescription plan. Did you know that? And when God gives you that command, it excludes everything else. That's why when you read the Bible and God says certain things about your life and how you're to live your life, that means that you're to live it specifically just like God said. And we are to honor Him in all that we do. There are many New Testament warnings actually in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 4 and 6 is one of them. Paul says that you might learn not to go beyond what is written, lest you be puffed up. And then in the book of 2 John 9, the Bible says, "Who that goeth onward and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God, nor the Son, nor the Father." Why? Because it's just not what the doctor ordered. It's not. We should ask ourselves when it comes to spiritual matters of the great physician, is it in the Bible? Is it in the Word of God that I am to do it? Or what am I to do? How am I to live my life? You know, we have so many divisions within the Lord's church today and within the spiritual world. You know, Jesus said that we were to follow Him. We have a lot of division in the spiritual world today because people do not follow Christ. We don't really want to follow Christ. We like to audition churches. It amazes me. What I mean by that is people go to one church and they see if they like it. If they don't like it, they go to the next one. If they don't like that, they go to the next one. They audition a number of them, actually. And if you don't like any of those, you can go to the church down the street. Sometimes when people pull up out in front of a church, they pull up and they want it to be like Burger King. You just pull up and order and have it your way. And in many cases, the church has turned into nothing but a place like Build-A-Bear. We just want what we want. And some people say, well, I want the older hymns. Some people say, oh, no, I want the new hymns. Some people say, I want it loud. And others say, oh, no, I want it soft. I want the lights on. No, I like to worship in the dark. I want a choir. No, I want a band. I want a sermon that steps on toes as long as they're not mine. We have what we call contemporary worship. We have traditional worship, progressive worship. We have what we call traditional worship. I saw one the other day. And it said it's going to be a bluegrass worship service. BYOB, bring your own banjo. It's amazing, isn't it, when you really stop and think about how people look at the kingdom of God. I can tell you that all the division is mainly over what the Bible does not say. Now, I don't go to the doctor and look at the doctor and say, well, doctor, what about all these other medications down at the pharmacy? He doesn't have to exclude those if he has given me the prescription for my life, what I need, what I should be taking. It excludes everything else. What people get in big arguments over things like this. What fruit did Eve eat? Anybody know? Nobody knows. Would you like to know? I'm not going to tell you. Because it wasn't a fruit. The real problem in the Garden of Eden was not the apple in Eve's hand. It was the pear on the ground. People argue and question, what kind of bush did Moses see burn? What kind was it? Why would we be in an argument about that? Or why did Nicodemus in John 3 come to Jesus by night? The Bible doesn't say not to do so. I have permission. If the Bible doesn't condemn it, then I have the permission to do it. Not so. Other causes of division. I just don't like what it says, the Bible. I just don't think that it is a big deal. Listen, if Christ told us to do something, I consider that a big deal. Don't you? Bad attitude toward the Scripture. A lot of people just don't want, I've heard people say, well, I'd read the Bible, but I don't understand the thous and thine and all those kind of words. Most people don't want to learn them. And they don't want to know what the Bible really does teach. But in John, the 12th chapter and verse 48, Christ taught, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. And the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. God's commands are both inclusive and exclusive as well. His commands include what he wants. You know, really, brethren, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. It's about God. And whatever God wants, that's what I should deliver. They exclude what God does not want. And when he tells us what is included, he does not tell us what is excluded. The Bible doesn't say not to do it, and so the Bible doesn't condemn it, then it's okay. Some say we need a Bible that is inclusive, that is naming all the things that we could do. We'll talk to God about that. Some say we need a Bible that is exclusive, naming all the things that we are not to do. What does the Bible say? You know, most people don't read their Bible anymore. I hope you read your Bible every day. You want to grow spiritually and you want to be the spiritual giant that you dream about and you think about, read the Bible every day and serve God. And when you do anything less, you're not doing what the doctor ordered. You're not. If we can just do anything, think about it. All the medications that you could take and all the things that you dream up, all the prescriptions of man. And one thing that bothers me too, when God gives you a prescription, that prescription is for you. You know, when you go down to the pharmacist, it's not for everybody. But we ask all the time, you got any leftover antibiotics? You got any leftover painkillers? The prescription is for you. It is. Think about Noah's ark. It was made out of gopher wood. I asked somebody one time, do you think that if you made it out of any other kind of wood, that it would float? I don't think so. Why did God tell them to make it out of gopher wood? Because that's what the doctor ordered. In the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Bible defines it. When God specified gopher wood, every other kind of wood was excluded. You couldn't build it out of pine. You couldn't build it out of oak. You couldn't build it out of cedar, elm, maple. No. God said, build it out of gopher wood, and anything else is less than what the doctor ordered. And that's why Noah, the Bible says in Genesis 6:22, according to all that God commanded, so did he. And it resulted in the saving of lives. Noah was physically delivered from God's judgment upon a wicked world. For the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness of God, which is by faith. Noah did what God asked him to do. Noah didn't say, God, why I got to build it out of gopher wood? He didn't say, why have I got to build it this high? Why have I got to build it this wide? Why can we have only one door? What about windows? Where are we going to put all those stinking cows? Where are we going to put the chickens? He just did what God asked him to do. And you know what? When you do what God asks you to do, you will always be successful. You know, when it comes to the Lord's table, the Bible says that we're to eat of unleavened bread and we're to drink the fruit of the vine, which we did this morning, according to Matthew chapter 26. And that's why we don't have donuts and coffee on the Lord's table. But I fear that may be coming next in a lot of churches because they perceive that they can do anything. God didn't say you shall not have donuts and coffee. He just said you shall have unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, and that we were to do it on the first day of every week. Someone said something to me one time and said, you know, Jesus never did have a funeral. But you know what? We have a memorial service here every Lord's Day. And we honor and we remember Jesus. We do. But sometimes people say, well, the Bible doesn't say you can't have all those things. When Christ used the bread and juice, that excluded everything else. Why? Because anything else is not what the doctor ordered. You know, when it comes to religious matters, we ought to go to the Bible and just ask the question, is it true? Is it right? When we talk about the fact that people ought to be baptized in order to be saved, is it really important that one really be immersed in water? Absolutely. Why? That's what the doctor said. And I can tell you that whatever the great physician says is not a practice. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that the old man has been crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and that you will henceforth no longer serve sin. That's what the great physician said. And since the New Testament specifies a burial, that excludes other so-called modes of baptism. Some people say they call baptism putting water on a baby's head or christening him or perhaps sprinkling a baby. The Bible says one has to believe in order to be baptized. That's what Christ taught, wasn't it? In Mark the 16th chapter, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that's what he says, folks. Why would you baptize a baby? You're not really baptizing him anyway until you take a believer who believes in Jesus and then you bury him in water and raise him out of that water. It is an immersion in water. For Colossians 2:12 says that we are buried with him in baptism, in the which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then in Romans 6 again, therefore we are buried with him. You know, if you bury an individual, it means you completely cover him. You don't take him to the cemetery and leave his feet sticking out, but you cover the whole body. And when one is really scripturally baptized, he is lowered in water, he is raised out of water according to the will of God, not according to the will of man. God didn't have to say, don't use milk to baptize him, or don't use beer, or whatever it happens to be, but bury him in water. And the fact that the Bible gives examples of people being baptized in water would exclude every other element that you might come up with. That's what the great physician prescribed. Why? Because anything else is not what the doctor ordered. We have a lot of examples from the Old Testament in the book of Romans 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. The things that were written before were for our learning. And the Old Testament, the Bible says, is a schoolmaster that brings us to the new things that Christ taught. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, verse 1 and 2, I think of the story of Nadab and Abihu, the sons of the high priest, Aaron. They disobeyed God. They didn't do what the doctor ordered. And they met with a strong reprisal from the Father who is in heaven. For the Bible says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, which took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered a profane fire before the Lord. Now, most of us would say, well, you know, that's no big deal. I mean, what is the big deal about it? Let me tell you what the big deal is. And the Bible says, which he had not commanded them, and fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, how serious is it when it comes to the Bible? I believe all the Bible, do you? I believe the Word of God. That's the great prescription. It is. Even priests had no right to offer what God had not commanded. Nobody. Why? Because anything else is not what the doctor ordered. In Exodus 12 and verse 5, the Bible, God spoke concerning Passover and said, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. But God said it has to be one without spot, no problems, no blemishes. And anything less than that would be disobedience to God. God specified the kind of animal that he wanted to be offered, and that excluded any other kind. If I told you I were going to Dallas, Texas, I wouldn't have to stand up here and say, well, I'm not going to Longview, I'm not going to the state of Alabama, I'm not going to Georgia, I'm not going to Florida. I tell you where I'm going. What God has included excludes anything else. Because God specified the kind of animal to offer, they had no choice in the matter. When it comes to the church, the Lord built the church. Church not being built by man. I don't want to be a part of a man-made church. I want to be a part of the church of the living God that Jesus established according to Matthew chapter 16. When he said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He has given us his divine system of worship and work in the kingdom of God. And we should never attempt to build the church of man. You know why that's true? Because Psalm 127 verse 1 says, they labor in vain that build it, except the Lord build the house. Why not? You want to build a church like man? You've gone beyond what God said. God has a plan of salvation too, by the way. People like to talk about a plan of salvation. I like to talk about God's plan of salvation. Not the plan that man has. But I like to talk about the plan of salvation of God. That includes hearing the gospel. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. That's why we preach it. That's why we teach it. And then we must believe it. And believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in me, he says, you cannot go to heaven. And we have to confess Christ. Some people say, well, that's kind of a trite thing. No, it's not trite at all. It's major. It's important. Because a lot of people will not do it. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. In the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, Paul says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made, listen to this, unto salvation. Part of the plan. It's a major thing. We have to repent of our sins. That means, I don't mean to feel sorry for it. A lot of people think repentance is just being remorseful over your sinful life. That's not repentance at all. The Bible says that we're to bring forth fruit, meat for repentance. We have to change our life, and then we have to be baptized. That's part of God's plan. A lot of churches have withdrawn baptism from their services. A lot of them have said, well, no, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And then he says you have to live a faithful Christian life. Sometimes people think, well, I got my ticket punched to glory today. I was baptized. No, you did something that the doctor ordered. You fulfilled what God said. But it doesn't end there. You know, if you stay healthy, you got to eat the right food. You got to get plenty of exercise. And if you get sick, you got to take the prescription that God has given. And it excludes any other prescription. And as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I have zero interest in political correctness. You know, we got a lot of congressmen up there, liberals. A lot of senators who are debating as to what President Trump should have done the other night. And they want to make sure that everything is politically correct. I'm interested in what is spiritually correct with God. That's the issue, isn't it? Because the human race is in need of a Savior. Romans 6 and verse 23. But the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the wages of sin is death. And the gift of eternal life, according to John 3 and verse 16, comes through Christ. And God calls on the entire world to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. People ask me again all the time, what do y'all teach? We teach the Bible, folks. We don't teach the doctrines of men. We are not a denomination. We're not one of many. We believe in following the path of Jesus and whatever our Lord taught. That we must do. Why? To do anything less than that or more than that is not what the great physician Jesus ordered. Factually speaking, in the book of 1 John 4 and verse 1, the Bible says that we're to test the spirits whether they are of God. Find out if what they're teaching is in the Bible. That's the thing I'd want to know. Not what I think, or what I believe. But we need a thus saith the Lord for what the Bible actually teaches. For 1 Peter 4 and verse 11 says, if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. People ask the wrong question many times. The question is not, where does the Bible say not to do it? But the question should be asked is this one. Where does the Bible authorize or command it? You and I are on a one track, one way. To the judgment seat of Christ. And I hope and I pray that we're following the great physician and that we're doing what he's asked us to do. Your worst mistake in life is to walk away from the one who brings salvation and the hope of heaven. The sinful life is an ugly life. But it is a life that can be changed. For Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your sins and your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. If we persist in rebelling against God, don't expect God to listen to your prayers. That's what he says. Now that's the prescription, folks. That's the prescription. And you know what? God hasn't changed his mind. And you know what? You're at the pharmacy today. And I have fulfilled my job. I've done what God's asked me to do. And now, it's up to you. To either accept or reject the doctor's orders. But I hope that you will exercise your faith and give your heart to Christ today and walk in what we call newness of life. And my question this morning is, are you ready to follow the great physician. We're happy to help you and assist you. If you've strayed away from God and you need to come back home, do that. Ask God to forgive you. Start your life again. And if you're not a Christian, quit following the ways of the world and start following the ways of God. While we stand.